We thank you so much for joining us, and now I have the great privilege of introducing Dr. Patricia Lawler. She is of Holly Health Center for, I believe it's Integrative Healthcare, and it is a clinic that, this is dating back a long time, Dr. Pat. What brought me to Dr. Pat was what was deemed a radiation overdose. And I find that very, very interesting that here we are, full circle, my dear.
yeah, pretty interesting.
Hopefully with what we went through with me and what both you and I have learned in all these years since then, we will be able to share and help others to avoid this situation. You know, and my mom stopped by with me today and in the office, and she just reminded me of what that very difficult day was like for me when I blindly trusted a physician that what they were giving me and doing for me was in my best interest. And my mom reminded me of what that day was like. She just came over and brought it up. And it brought back some pretty painful and scary memories, and all of a sudden I feel right now the emotion coming up into my throat. Oof, my goodness. Caught me by surprise here after all these years. But what started it all for me was I had an overactive thyroid, and I actually was working and passed out. And what happened was I was cutting hair on a male client, and I cut my finger with the scissors, which is very common. And it bled so much so fast that I actually passed out, fainted right behind him. And I was brought across the street. It was downtown Minneapolis. I was brought across the street to a clinic and to an internist. And he did some tests and found out that I had an overactive thyroid. And back then he recommended what was called a radioactive iodine treatment. And he said it's perfectly safe. What it will do is it'll just get me back to healthy levels. And he said the only side effect is you can't have any children for 12 months. That's it. And I said, well, I'm not planning on it. I'm 20 years old. I'm really not planning on it. And so, you know, I didn't know any better back then. That was in 1978. So that was a long time ago. And So my mom, you know, she checked it out, and she thought, well, okay, that's all that we know how to do. So my mom, they took me into a hospital, and it was outpatient, and I went into the hospital, and I should have known better. When I walked in these doors, and the doors were over 6 inches thick, and it was very sterile in there, and this person came out from this area that was very scary looking, and they had a full lead suit on. Full lead. The whole front, everything was lead. They had a face thing on. They had gloves on their hands that were up to past the elbows. And they grabbed something out of this stainless steel tray that was large and red. And they picked it up with tongs that were over 24 inches long. They were very, very extraordinarily long. And my mom reminded me of all this today. I kind of, you know, forgot about that. And they handed it to me, and they said, here, swallow this. And the pill was about three-quarters the length of an adult thumb. And about the width of that as well. And I took that, and it took about 2 weeks, and got extremely ill. I remember I gained 6 pounds in one day and did nothing but drink water. As the day went on, I had to unbutton my pants, unzip my pants, and it got to the point where I couldn't even fit into my pants. I went from 127 pounds to 183 pounds in 6 weeks, and I didn't even eat hardly anything. My hair, over three-quarters of my hair fell out. My nails turned to mush. My skin turned gray and had open slits in it. My tongue and mouth were gray and had slits. My teeth were very loose. And my eyes, the whites of my eyes were yellow, and this yellow goo kept coming out. And I went back to the physician, and I said, something is really wrong. And I was so exhausted, all I could do was sleep, and I had to work, because if I didn't work, I didn't get paid. I had just bought a house. It was a nightmare. I had house payment, I had bills, it was just a nightmare for me. And what he said to me, he goes, you're perfectly fine. That's what he said to me. You're perfectly fine, and there's nothing needs to be done for you. And he refused to see me when I called to make further appointments. He refused to see me. So then, our wonderful friend of ours, Carol Teasdale, who I happened to meet through another friend, referred me to Dr. Patricia Lawler. And we began the very, very long road back of recovery. And even with all that Dr. Lawler and I had done, I still had some effects of the radiation, and because they were showing up in my body. And so we're going to talk now about Dr. Lawler is one of the leading authorities in thyroid function and endocrine system function. So we are going to talk now with Dr. Lawler about that. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm just so honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
The reason why we have you is you are an expert, and with more time, you've become an even higher level expert on thyroid and endocrine function. And you knew more than anybody that I could locate and find at the time about radiation damage. Back then, what you put me on was miso. You put me on this nasty tasting seaweed that all I could do was get dried, and brown rice and apple cider vinegar and distilled water. All I ate for 18 months. That's all I ate for 18 months. Nothing else. And then you continued to see me and test me and work with me and continued to do acupuncture and different things to monitor my health and my organs, because what happened is my organs started, I started to go into organ failure and from the excessive radiation. A number of years later, another doctor, because of my health challenges that ensued after with the car accident and so forth, a doctor looked at my chart and he read what was given to me and he said, "How can you be alive?" And I said, "It's been not easy." And I thought he was talking about the car accident. He was actually talking about the radiation I was given, the dose. He said, "You were given a lethal dose of the radiation." He goes, "In today, what we know today, back then that was lethal or fatal." He goes, "How did you survive that?" And I said, "I had a wonderful, wonderful holistic physician, and she was my angel that guided me through that. And she obviously saved my life." So everyone who is listening, this is the wonderful physician who saved my life back then. And that's why I've asked her to be on this call, because not to be an alarmist, not to create more fear, and certainly not to financially propagate and capitalize on the devastation that's happening in Japan and the potential that could affect the rest of the world. And so I'm really doing this out of to try and create awareness and prevent anyone else from going through remotely what I went through a few years ago with excessive exposure to radiation. So, Dr. Lawler, that's my reasoning. So how about we move into how does environmental radiation affect the body in general?
Well, I think about that, and I'd like to sort of go back, if I can just sort of paint a picture for people, and if they'll see it in their minds, I think they'll sort of get what this radiation is. But if you imagine sort of a horizontal line, and there's one end, and then there's another end, and this line is actually a line of electromagnetic activity. And if you look at your horizontal line and you go to the center and then go a little bit to the left, right in there is going to be the electromagnetic wavelength that we can see. It's called visible light, and it's beautiful. It's, purple, blue, green, yellow, orange, and red. So you have that configuration of electromagnetic wavelength that we can actually see here on planet Earth. Now, if you go on your horizontal line here and you start moving to your right, the wavelengths are going to become sort of fuller or further apart, okay? And as we move to the right, we move into something called infrared heat, and some of you may be familiar with that. You go, "Oh, yeah, I've got an infrared heat unit that helps me heal." Well, that's where it is. It's sort of to the right of the visible light. And then if we move quite a bit further right, then we get to microwaves, and some of us, not me, but some of us out there are still using those things to heat up our food. Those are the microwaves. And if we move even further, then we get to radio, TV, FM, AM, and then on the far right, sort of electricity itself. Now, it's important to know that as we've moved to the right, to the far right there, as those wavelengths are sort of getting more distance between sort of their troughs and their peaks, if you will, they're lowering in energy. Now, if we go to the left of the visible lights that we talked about, the lovely visible spectrum that's slightly left to center line, then we get into some other wavelengths, and we've probably heard of far, you know, mid, and near ultraviolet light, and that's where they are. So they're sort of to the left of what we can't see them, but they're to the left of what we can see. And then as we move to the left more, interestingly enough, we move into X-rays, all right, and we've all, we probably all had an X-ray in our life, but we're starting to get into where the wavelengths are starting to get closer together. There's less space between them. So they're becoming sort of compressed, okay? And then as you move to the right, we start to get into the alpha, beta, gamma rays, and also the cosmic rays. And this, so on the far left, we have this compression of these loops of wavelengths. And that compression is so important to us in terms of when we think of our health. Now, day to day, we're getting exposed to these sort of cosmic and gamma rays, but not very much. Our atmosphere, et cetera, mostly protects us from them. And, of course, there's other different types of these rays just living on planet Earth. But the thing is that when we start talking about a nuclear accident and we get large amounts of these heading out, the fact that these rays, these wavelengths, are on the far left of our chart is very important because they are just packed with energy. They are just tense with energy, and that's, in fact, why we have nuclear reactors, because we can pack all this extraordinary energy or create just all this extraordinary energy in a really, a small space. And so when there's an accident of that and that radiation gets out, it's a very high-energy kind of radiation compared to microwaves and electricity, which are low energy. So these high energy waves, when they get, they are just not good with human life or any kind of life at all. It's destructive. And the reason is that it's too much energy. And when they come in contact either with our skin or our cells or, you know, any part of our body, that energy gets transferred into our cells, and our cells can't handle it. So they literally almost like burn, if you will, and that's why radiation is so toxic to us.
Okay, great. Thank you for explaining that. So say, for example, because I know that, with our research that we've been doing to try and find accurate information, not sensationalized information or things like
that. Right.
Because, you know, it's very easy to get sensationalized information. And even Japan, because I know I was in Mexico this past week with Gary, and Gary was talking to Shinriki, our general manager of Japan, on a daily basis. And even in Japan, the information is not, it's not real clear how exactly the extent of the damage and devastation that's going on. And so we'll save that. Maybe we should do that now. Maybe we should get that taken care of right now, because I think that may be important. And for those of you who are listening, there is a website that Frankie looked up. It's Daily News 45. It's world's latest news. That's and it is a credible website, Daily News 45. And this came out, Frankie found it this morning, 400 times normal levels of radiation in Japan Onagawa nuclear power plant. So basically what now they have found just recently, and this was actually Sunday, the radiation increased to 21 microsieverts. That is about 400 times higher than normal levels in the Onagawa nuclear plant in Miyagi Prefecture. And so what does that mean when it is a 21 microsievert? That's the million-dollar question. A sievert is a measuring device of the risk of radiation, okay? And it's measured in what are called sieverts, SVs. So I'm going to share with you just a little bit so that you understand. You know, there is at 0.05, there's blood cell changes. At 0.5, there is nauseousness, and that can happen hours after. At point,
John, Sherry, could I just insert here that we want to make sure, as you're speaking of these, that these are sieverts now, not microsieverts. So, the 0.5 sieverts is or 500 millisieverts. So, you mentioned microsieverts. So, I just wanted people to be clear that what you're going through now are actual sieverts.
Yes, exactly. And so, the 0.7. is vomiting can happen, and that's time to onset of a few hours, okay? And then 0.75, you can have hair loss, and that can take up to 2 weeks to, or even longer. It usually sets on starting at 2 weeks, but can take longer. Diarrhea can happen within hours, is 0.9. And when you get to 1.0 sieverts, you can actually start to hemorrhage internally. And 4.0 is possible death, and that may take even up to 2 months to show up. And 10 sieverts can be destruction of the intestinal lining, internal bleeding, and then it says death. And that can start to show symptoms in about 1 to 2 weeks. And that's where I was at, because I had intestinal lining destruction, and I did have internal bleeding. And that's where I was at. And then the cognitive impairment, convulsions, and death, and that's 20 sieverts, and that's extremely high exposure very quickly, very immediately. And so let's give you an idea of chest x-ray CT scan is 0.01 sieverts, okay? That's just 0.01. So that is even less than the danger of Japan, okay? And 100 chest x-rays is off the chart. So, of course, the more x-rays that you subject yourself to, the higher the risk of radiation damage, because my experience is once you have the radiation in the cells, it doesn't just biologically remove itself. Once it's there, it's there. What is your experience, Dr. Lawler?
Yeah, radiation is, you know, such a funny thing, because we use it a lot, you know, in medical care, and yet... And you know, certainly, you know, the government is working to make sure we have reduced exposure, et cetera. But I think, you know, sometimes when folks are hurting, it's like, oh, you know, I want an x-ray of that, or I want a CT scan, you know, which just magnifies that all the more. And we don't really consider that. I do believe that these effects can be cumulative for us. It's a little bit like a head injury. You just don't want to have too many of them. So that is my opinion as well, that we really want to try to avoid exposure to x-ray as much as we can. And of course, then we have some controversy, you know, with the mammogram, and we won't go into that tonight. But that's just an area that we just want to be aware of, our exposures to x-ray.
Excellent. And I know that with the nuclear reactor, I know that one has blown up, and there's high risk for three more of blowing up. They are right on the edge of that. And this, for Japan, we are all sending prayer. We are all doing everything that we can possibly do, whether it's financial, whether it's prayer, whether it's volunteering, those that have time to go volunteer and help. You name it, and experts have been flown in from all over the world to help and assist. So, you know, this is something that can affect the world, not just the people of Japan. What are your thoughts, Dr. Lawler, on the wind currents when the radiation goes gets up into the atmosphere and then it goes through the jet stream and the
right.
Wind? What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, with radiation itself doesn't travel too much, but the dust particles that it lands on do. So they do travel. It's interesting with a different type of, when we talk about iodine-131, which is what you were given, okay? But this is also an isotope that comes out of nuclear explosions because it's part of the process. Iodine-131, and the good news about it, if you can have any good news at all, is that it has a half-life of 8 days. So in 8 days, half of it's going to be gone. And in another 8 days, the rest of it's going to be gone. And so it has a decent half-life. The problem is when you get to something like cesium-137, that's just shocking because that can have a 30-year half-life, 30-year. And so that one, I mean, we could say, okay, with the iodine-131, if we're not in the area and depending upon the winds and how long they take, whatever, we have a better chance of that starting to degrade before it gets to us. But with cesium, I'm not sure about the half-lives of strontium and plutonium. There are issues as well because they have longer half-lives. This stuff can definitely get carried. And I have a daughter who lives in Berkeley, so I have real interest in, just what was happening in Japan. And, boy, there were a lot of numbers flying around, weren't they? Terms of what was actually true and where it was. So it's nice to get Gary's actually speaking to someone there who might know a little bit more. But I tell you, I was making sure my daughter had some things on hand.
Right. So what are the, are we ready to move on to the environmental effects of radiation on the body when it comes into an exposure? And this does vary body to body according to your immune system, according to how much radiation you've already had already exposure, how many x-rays, how many CT scans, how much you use the microwave, how much you use your computer, big screen TV, cell phone. I mean, there's so much radiation now out there if you live close to a cell phone tower. I mean, you name it, okay? This isn't just exclusive to what just happened in Japan a little over a week ago.
Yeah. And sure, if I could say, I was aware of someone responding to a newsletter that one of the people in my organization sent out. It was just a wonderful, beautiful newsletter. But one of the receivers on that, said, gee, you guys are trying to take advantage of this. And, it's just a hard thing to have someone accept your kind and loving thoughts like that. I sort of feel like with this happening to Japan that, and for the people in Japan, our hearts go out to them so much that they are suffering, and yet with their experience comes this incredible wake-up call for us that, yes, we have nuclear reactors in this country. Yes, some of them are on the coastlines, and yes, some of them are susceptible to tsunami, and yes, some of them are just like the ones in Japan. So I don't want to be an extremist, but I also feel we shouldn't be putting our head in the sand and being blind. And I think sometimes in the United States here, even despite 9/11 and even despite what happened in New Orleans, that we have a tendency to think, that things can't happen. But
yeah,
we are aware that, there has, the planet is experiencing some global warming. And with that comes just more volatile activity. I think, people would just acknowledge that. And so to me, what unfortunately has happened in Japan, sort of say, gosh, can we learn from it and be more prepared?
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you for framing that. So we're going to get into in a little bit what we can do to be prepared. And if anyone does have, like if anyone has had to have the great misfortune of having a health challenge and having multiple x-rays, multiple CT scans, whatever, this applies to them as well, not just people living that may be exposed down the road to some of the nuclear dust particles that come and float in our jet stream into our environment. So how does the environmental radiation affect our body in general?
Well, so first of all, we want to remember that generally what this stuff does to us is it starts messing with our DNA and our proteins. And, unfortunately, when we think of proteins, they make up, a lot of the important substances in our body, like hormones and enzymes. So once radiation is strong enough, it can cause, you know, DNA strands to break, and it denatures those proteins. And then we can start to get in trouble. But so one of the first things, you know, just in my research on this, is that blood changes, start to occur. So people can experience anemias and problems with infection. So that's probably, you know, unless you have a larger exposure and it's hitting your skin, then, you know, you're certainly going to have burning and, you know, problems with your skin. But I think, you know, at lower levels often, it could just be this anemia and a tendency toward inflammation and also for infection in the body.
And being more tired in general?
Absolutely. With anemia comes fatigue. And some people, you know, with this too, you know, with the brain being affected, of course, there can be fainting, and if this is extreme enough, actually seizures can occur. So headaches, nausea, seizures affecting the brain. So that's something. I think if we want to take a big umbrella picture, look at radiation, we say that it is a super, super, super inflammatory experience. It's like the body's on fire, and it can be on fire in different parts of our body, sort of depending upon what isotopes we're exposed to.
Okay. All right. Excellent. So how do you know if you have radiation exposure?
Well, from what I know other than using muscle response testing or some, you know, alternative medicine assessment, typically we don't know from, you know, first of all, we don't smell it. We don't necessarily feel it right away. It's invisible. So that's why, you know, when you see the pictures of folks in Japan, they're being tested with these little units that can pick up the radioactivity either on their clothing or on their feet. One reporter, I don't know if you listened to her, but she was over there, and she was a little bit concerned about what kind of shape she was in, and they tested it all out, and she wasn't too bad until she got to her shoes, and then the thing just, you know, started to go off with lights, and she was very concerned. So with these type of instrumentation, which, of course, the government and people who are concerned about radioactivity are there in the event of an accident, so they will test us. But generally, initially, you're not going to feel too much unless you're having a higher exposure.
Okay. All right.
You could, you know, if one was had a light exposure and was feeling fatigued, whatever, and indeed you actually had a radiation exposure, you could do a CBC, which is a type of blood test, very simple blood test, that takes a look at your red blood cells, white blood cells, et cetera, their formation, and you definitely would see, you know, something going also on. Also, dark field microscopy is, you know, when
yes.
you look at it through a microscope,
yes.
you're going to see destruction as well.
The live blood cell analysis, absolutely.
Yeah.
That is, you know, and that's one of the things that showed up for me. Even my first exposure to that was in December of 2000. So we're looking at 22 years later from the initial exposure, 22 years later, and it still showed significant levels of radiation damage on my cells.
Yeah, it's a lingering thing, and it's tough.
Yeah, it's very much so. And that, I mean, I cleaned up my life dramatically regarding the holistic treatments. Holistic, you know, I've been straight holistic since 1986.
Yeah, you were
my medical
care. I'm sure, lady. You know, when they talk about the research that was done in Chernobyl, of course, that was in 1986. The research that was, well, they couldn't really do it with Hiroshima and Nagasaki so well just because they weren't really prepared to do it. But Chernobyl was very interesting because they didn't know about getting iodine to people after an exposure. And, of course, one of the reasons I'm very interested in this is because of its effect on the thyroid. It's just major. But a lot of it's so incredible because with adults or a younger person, when you're exposed to this, typically the radiation – you know, the cancer shows up 20 years, 10, 20 years later. And in Chernobyl, little kids were showing up 5 years later with cancer of the thyroid. So, it, you know, yes, it was like moving really quickly in their cases because kids, their cells are turning over even more rapidly. And so babies and children are actually more at risk. And they were just picking up a lot, and boy, they were manifesting the cancer, you know, 5 years later, which is considered really fast. But that's an example right there of how long this stuff can affect your system.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, and it's interesting that what was I diagnosed with in December of 2000? Stomach and intestinal cancer.
Yeah.
22 years later. And, so it's very, very, very interesting how this, these turns that our amazing body takes. Now, you mentioned the thyroid. In all the work that I did, what I noticed was that the endocrine system is really the first system, in addition to just the blood cells, it's their cells, that as far as the whole body system, the one that takes the hardest hit is the endocrine system, and the gland or the organ that takes the hardest hit is the thyroid. Could you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, well, the thyroid, of course, you know, for anybody who is at the December presentation that spoiled in oils, you know, we talked about this, that the thyroid, of course, needs iodine. It's one of the, it is probably the key nutrient. There are others, but iodine is the main one, in order to enable the thyroid to create T3, T4, and some other lesser hormones. But it is constantly needed for uptake, and when you are exposed by these highly active radioactive isotopes of iodine-131, this stuff just targets the thyroid big time. And unless you're really, really, really pushing another source of iodine, the system, the thyroid, is just going to take this stuff up. And it's a very, very toxic thing. And one thing that's interesting that I've learned also through, you know, my years in alternative medicine is, you know, I was working a lot with women with fibrocystic breast disease, and I found out that next to the thyroid, the breast and the ovaries are like the next highest area for thyroid uptake. And, yeah, so the ovaries, and you sort of got to wonder there, too, with the ovaries. Wow, you know, and ovarian cancer is sort of a nasty thing. But so the ovaries and the breasts and then also testes with men, the prostate, I'm not sure. I think that's okay. But the testes also with iodine. And these areas really need the iodine as well. And actually, one of the ways, you know, we work with the you know, this inflammatory breast condition was actually to get the woman on some iodine, she often improved. So when we get radioactive iodine in our environment, it's first of all, it's just really going to get, you know, moved into the thyroid. If there's any extra over there left over, it's going to go, unfortunately, to the breast and your ovaries as well. And
okay.
So then the testes.
Testes, all right. So let's go to what foods people, because you are so brilliant at pure foods. That's the first thing you did for me was, you know, for those who missed it, I'll repeat it. You put me on this special brand of brown rice. You put me on this special brand of miso, and you found the store I had to go buy it at. You put me on this, and this was before the internet, guys.
Yeah.
Where you could just Google something. We had to pull out the yellow pages and start calling. you had me eat these, I remember these sheets of nasty tasting seaweed.
Nori. Oh, I love nori.
it was all rolled up. And then you had me do apple cider vinegar and distilled water.
Right.
And that's literally what I lived on for 18 months, nothing else, because if I tried to eat anything else, I got violently, violently ill.
Yeah.
And it wasn't worth it to me. It wasn't worth it. And I still, it took me, how long did it take me to get that weight down? 7 years it took me to balance my weight back, I think? I think it was 7 years.
Yeah. But boy, that was a long time.
And you're talking somebody who was usually a twig. I mean, you know, my body was normally, I graduated from high school at 122 pounds at 5'9". And that was my norm. That was normal for me. So for me to shoot that much weight up that fast.
And you were sadly an incredible example of sort of the pro-inflammatory action of the effect of radiation. That's exactly what happens. It's just it just causes this inflammation, so the body holds water, and you know, as severe as yours was, it, you know, it took you a while.
Yeah, it did. It took 7 years from the time of, and my weight never really did go all the way back down. I got close, but I was still easily 10-plus pounds above to what my norm was.
Yeah.
And,
you know, sure, I wonder, nowadays, of course, you have essential oils and some of the wonderful products there, but also the wonderful bioenergetic therapies we have now are such a gift, and I think, you know, we could have moved around along faster nowadays.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So
there's a lot to learn yet.
Yeah, and we did. So what foods are good for people?
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons I was so big on the miso, and that's, of course, a fermented soybean paste, everybody, and I know people hear soy and they go, oh, yikes, but this is a fermented soy, so it's very health-giving. The fermentation activity creates live enzymes, breaks down the soybeans, and releases a lot of their high nutrition. And the reason I sort of went with miso is because I had heard somewhere in talking with Japanese, and of course I'd studied macrobiotics, that there were some of the people coming out of Nagasaki and Hiroshima that were saying those that were regularly taking miso soup did not have the radiation poisoning of those who were exposed. Now, if they were really, you know, in the epicenters, it didn't matter, you know, what you were eating. But these are more people, you know, further out, miles out, that would have had, you know, exposed to the plumes, et cetera, or who may have contaminated produce or whatever from the land, vegetables, fruits, et cetera. And the claim was that the miso protected them. And so, you know, when Sherry was exposed to this, I thought, this sounds like a miso case to me. And, of course, if you think of sea vegetables, I had her on something called nori, and that is indeed a flat, it looks like a piece of paper, except it's green. And, Sherry, did I let you roast that nori?
Yeah, you let me roast it, and then I got to mix it in with my brown rice.
Oh, that's so tasty.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I love nori seaweed when it's roasted. Now, if it's raw, that's a little hard, but for you, you were coming into this sort of suddenly here. So once again, seaweed, you know, as kelp, kelp is, you know, with our wonderful Thyramin in Young Living, multigreens, you know, it has the Pacific kelp in it. That is an incredible source of iodine and other trace minerals. And Sherry was probably pretty super depleted in those, in good quality. And needed to replace toxic amounts that had been in her system.
So
and of course,
go ahead.
Organic apple cider vinegar, once again, live enzymes, lots of antioxidants. We certainly could have wished for Ninja Red back there, couldn't we?
Yes, we could have.
We could have used them, absolutely. Other foods, too, just magnesium as a nutrient. So, you know, we might want to look to some of our mineral supplementation. Magnesium is an incredible, incredible anti-inflammatory. In fact, when people have strokes now or any type of brain issue where there's an inflammatory reactivity going on, magnesium will often be fed in by IV. But just knowing that magnesium is this incredible anti-inflammatory agent is very helpful. So it is a mineral that we want to consider for good health when we're dealing with radiation.
And so for Young Living magnesium, you've got three things. You've got Ningxia Red, you've got mineral essence, and you've got Megacal.
Yeah. Hey, is there... is there much in, alkaline?
Alkaline? There is some, yes. Not as much as is in Megacal, but there is some, yes.
Yeah, all right. I was just wondering about that because I wasn't remembering.
Yes. Okay,
yeah.
So
those are really helpful.
Why don't we move into the Let's move into the, first of all, let's go to symptoms. What should some signs and symptoms, in addition to what you've mentioned, that would be just pay attention to for people, in addition to you mentioned the anemia, the fatigue, things like that.
Right.
How about some just really basic, simple ones? Are there any signs or symptoms?
Yeah, well, we can go to, actually, you know, with our eyes, radiation poisoning can increase the tendency toward cataracts. And, you know, when we hear about cataracts, we say, well, wow, extra vitamin C and antioxidants are needed. Also in our mouth, we might have inflammation, ulcers. We could have bleeding also in the gums. So that could happen. Once again, cells are breaking down, so it's causing inflammation, and then we can bleed. The heart can suffer. Basically, any of our organs here can suffer because any of them can become inflamed. I think the skin particularly, boy, you know, most people we're seeing in the area of radiation Japan are covered. They have jackets on. Of course, it's cold as well, but still they would be doing that even if it wasn't, because you really want to keep that radiation off your skin. It can have a very burning effect. It's inflammatory. You can bruise easily, open sores. You could be oozing if you had enough. It's just skin sort of dropping off, sloughing off, not pretty. I mentioned the cesium-137, and that, of course, was we can associate, along with the plutonium and the strontium, with effects, negative effects on that bone marrow. So this is what leads to our white and red blood cell disruption here, is that the bone marrow gets destroyed there. They can't make the red blood cells and white blood cells. As you experience the small and large intestine, we can have trouble with ulcers and bloody stool, diarrhea, internal bleeding, hemorrhaging there. Same with the stomach. And lungs, boy, we can have just, you know, chronic inflammation there. You can get some scarring, and which can lead to shortness of breath and dry cough. So I think we already talked, of course, about the thyroid. Some people, their thyroid can enlarge a bit with all that uptake. And also reproductively, you could, it actually can lead to infertility and or sterility. So it can affect our the gonads, and we're not going to have any more children.
Yep, exactly. Okay, so now that we've shared all the scary parts,
yeah,
parts that are less than positive, let's move on to solutions. One of the things that I was given immediately by Gary when I went in 2000, and this was pre-Ningxia Red as well, even pre-Barry Young Juice, was Melrose Oil. And the reason why Melrose Oil is made of Melaleuca alternifolia, Nioli, which is Melaleuca quinquinervia, rosemary, and clove. And the reason why he gave me that is there is a good amount of research on Melaleuca quinquinervia, or white Nioli, as the number one, and the number two being Melaleuca alternifolia, of literally reversing the effects of radiation damage on the cells in the blood. And so I was given that internally in capsules. This was before we were doing IVs and oils, and this was in 2000 of December. And it was astounding how quickly my blood cells started to change and shift. Astounding. And so how much did I get? I believe I had 3 capsules a day of 00, which is about 20 to 22 drops a day. And I just the bleeding stopped. It was amazing to me how fast the cell, the integrity of the cell changed with just the Melrose Oil internally. And then the more research I did, the more I started to utilize the others. So that's why Melrose, and that is why Melaleuca alternifolia. Now I want to touch on longevity oil, because that's another one that Gary mentions. And that's because of the clove and the thyme, and the frankincense and the orange. Those taken internally, clove is the highest antioxidant, coming in at 1,800,000 on the ORAC scale, which means there's a whole lot that can come up against clove, and clove can just stomp it within the body from a cellular damage level. And so with And also what research has found is with longevity oil, because of the thyme makes the clove stronger and the clove makes the thyme stronger, the synergistic effect. The frankincense actually strengthens the life force ability within the nucleus of the cell, within our bodies. And then the orange oil is absolutely paramount in keeping away tumors and any types of unhealthy growth, which, as you mentioned, cancer is very common down the road side effect of over radiation exposure. And so the one, not only for if you do have radiation exposure, to really minimize the damage to the cells, but most importantly, longevity oil really creates a resiliency so that you, if you do come across radiation exposure and damage, and many other things, longevity oil itself has been proven to strengthen the resiliency on a cellular level in our bodies. Anything that you have to say, Dr. Lawler, about Melrose or longevity oil?
Well, Melrose is such a magical combination. I remember having it just once, just around with laryngitis. And then also, it's just so powerful with candida as well. It's just, I've been treating some of my patients lately with it, and I'm excited about it. So I was just, you know, think it is, it's such an incredible combination. And that rosemary in there, of course, there's been a lot of research on rosemary with brain function. And I think, wow, you know, where, with radiation exposure, if we get inflammation with the brain, the rosemary has got to be just great there. And there's so much antiseptic, antibacterial, antiseptic, everything, you know, in those individual oils. And that's so important also just because of the tendency for an infection because of the bone marrow suppression.
Exactly. Exactly. So let's go to your favorite. Thyromin. let's do that one.
Yeah, you want to do that one, or you want me to?
Well, I'm going to share with you the oils that are in it and the ingredients that are in Thyromin and why it's so absolutely second to none astounding. And I'll let Dr. Lawler speak a bit on Thyromin because she was absolutely blown away with this product. And so, of course, there is the iodine in it, okay? And it comes, the source of it is kelp, okay? It is sea kelp. And there's potassium, there's CoQ10, there's magnesium, and there's parsley, there's amino acid of L-cysteine, and then peppermint, spearmint, myrtle, and myrrh. And so if you would like to talk just a little bit about what's the difference in your opinion between Thyromin and just iodine capsules?
Well, you know, iodine capsules in terms of, say, what's recommended by the government, of course, they recommend very, very high levels after exposure. Now, the only, and sometime that may be necessary, but the only problem is you cannot stay on those very long. They can actually do damage with the system. They can cause inflammation. You can start having allergies to the compound. So they say don't be on these more than 2 weeks. You know, you can get in big trouble with them. The beautiful thing about Thyromin, I guess, which does have potassium iodide in it and also kelp, is it's such a beautiful combination. And it has very strong presence with iodine. Then it has all these supportive nutrients with it that are very, very important for thyroid health. And the really neat thing about it, too, is, you know, as soon as you're putting all these different ingredients together that, you know, that Sherry listed and the oils, et cetera, that are in there, and also the glandulars, that this is really a endocrine supplement. You know, we shouldn't think of it as just for the thyroid. So since the radiation has a proclivity to the endocrine system, primarily the thyroid, yes, but other glands as well, this combination, I feel, is very protective, and it's, you know, surprisingly effective. And I think, you know, if, and we're not speaking about multigreen yet, but I think if we, you know, if we blend the multigreens and the thyromine, it's a pretty powerful pack.
Okay, so let's go to multigreens because I know that you were I know that you have worked with a significant amount of thyroid supplementations over the years. And I remember very succinctly that it caught you by extreme surprise how well Thyroman worked.
Right.
And how much it did not disrupt the body. Because you have a very sensitive way, an acute way of testing when the body is heading into disruption. Like you said, you can't stay on iodine capsules alone for too long because it will cause a significant disruption. So you have an amazing foresight of when that starts to happen in the body, that you're really aware of that. And that's one of the reasons why you are so good at what you do, in my opinion, which I'm not being humble about it at all. She is the best, everyone. She is the best. And so I remember hearing from you when you called me, you go, whoa, that Thyroman is magic.
Yeah.
I remember you saying that.
Yep. And, you know, I should say Thyroman plus some Myrtle and plus some Endoflex too. My experience with Thyroman plus adding those extra essential oils to it to further enhance it, I found just really, really power-packed. It had significant impact on blood results, et cetera. So that is so exciting to see.
Yes. So let's go on to multigreens. Now, the ingredients are spirulina, barley grass, bee pollen, choline, Pacific kelp, alfalfa leaf, Elytra root, and then amino acid complex of L-arginine, L-cysteine, and L-tyrosine. And trust me, folks, if you have an autoimmune situation or if you have an endocrine system imbalance, the L-arginine, L-cysteine, and L-tyrosine are absolutely, you cannot live without these to help correct your body, these amino acids. And then, of course, the oils are rosemary, lemon, lemongrass, and melissa. Now, when I read about this, and see, when I was working to heal my body from this damage, I did a lot of research on spirulina, and there was a specific type of spirulina, and I didn't get the name from Mark back, and I couldn't find my papers. I just got back into town late last night, so I didn't have a lot of time to dig up all my old research papers on this, but there's a specific type of spirulina that comes from way off the Pacific Northwest in the ocean in the Pacific that actually works extremely well and rapidly and very thoroughly to rebuild cells against radiation damage. And so I contacted Mark Schroeder at Young Living way back when and found out that this is the type Young Living uses. It's very rare, it's very expensive, and it's very pure. And so it is amazing to me. I just let out a large yelp when I found out.
Yeah, that's the spirulina platensis.
Yeah, it's just absolutely amazing. And then, of course, with the choline and then the Pacific kelp. Anything else you want to say about multigreens?
Well, you know, you look at the fact that melissa is in there. that's pretty awesome. Melissa, of course, if we want to buy it, a 5-milliliter bottle is expensive and well worth it, but very expensive. And here it is right in this combination, along with some other great oils. But, wow, Melissa, that would be enough to get sort of excited about this right there.
Okay. So that's why. And it also supplies energy. You mentioned that the fatigue because of the anemia and the multigreens, the synergistic combination of multigreens, what they do is they literally supply a significant amount of energy organically to the cells so that you have more energy. And, of course, you know, we could couple Ningxia Red with that and all the amazing nutritional values of this whole food that happens to be in a liquid form. So now there's one more I'm going to throw at you here, True Source. Because True Source also has Corella algae and spirulina in it. And True Source also has wonderful things in it regarding L-leucine and lutein. And tocotrienols from natural palm oil. So, and it has, of course, the Ningxia Wolfberry, the Lycium Barbarum. And it truly has a full, complete source of vitamins, minerals, nutrients. It also, by the way, has iodine in it, and it also has potassium in it, and it also has magnesium in it from a whole food source from kelp. And so, and it also has chromium and choline. So, if you have not had the opportunity to try True Source, I encourage you. This is truly a lifesaver. It's like all this amazing food in these tiny little capsules, and your body feels it when you eat it. Do you have any comments, Dr. Lawler, on the True Source?
Yeah, actually, I've been trying the True Source lately, and it's rather delightful. They have these little different colors of capsules depending upon the colors of the food that the nutrients come from. But, you know, there's a certain percentage of, well, alternative health people who really believe that, you know, some of the best multis are actually, as True Source has been developed from whole food sourcing. So I think it's a really clean, clear, wonderful, energetic kind of multi that we can benefit from. And, you know, I just love we're seeing all this lineup of iodine here. And, you know, I think, you know, when Gary lists all the positive things, you know, you can be on to help protect yourself from radiation. You see the accumulation of important sources of iodine, and that, you know, that just helps us so much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, the last thing, product, and there's many we can talk about, but I'm just going to bring up one more, is Detoxime. And Detoxime, they're tiny, tiny little capsules. If you take your little pinky fingernail, cut, you know, slice it in half, if you will, and that's about the size of a Detoxime, just a tiny little capsule. And what they are is they're a vegetable enzyme complex. And what they do is they detoxify the body on a cellular level. Now, this is what's interesting, is that if you take it with food, it assists you in digesting the food and turning it into nutrients. However, if you take it away from food, what it does is it helps the body to detoxify toxins out of itself. It reduces cholesterol and triglycerides. It actually helps to open and clear the gallbladder, the ducts. It cleanses the liver. It also helps to rid the body of candida and yeast overgrowth. Now, one of the things that, let me tell you what they contain. It contains amylase, glucoamylase, alpha-galactosidase, invertase, lactase, protease, bromelain, lipase, phytase. It also contains cumin, okay? And cumin oil alone for digestion will just, why do you think the Middle East spices and flavors their food with so much cumin? The Middle East is not really the cleanest place on the planet, folks. I've been there, and I can tell you, it's dirty, and it's not real sanitary. And so the cumin has absolutely tremendous help of keeping integrity in the digestive system and keeping us from getting sick. But one of the things that this Detoxime does is it literally assists the body in uptake of the magnesium, potassium, and zinc in foods, up to 90% uptake. Now, let me say that again because this is phenomenal. By taking the Detoxime, you have an up to 90% integration or assimilation of the magnesium, potassium, zinc, and other important minerals out of the foods you eat that you normally wouldn't be able to assimilate and integrate within your body. And so this is why, because a 90% absorption rate of the minerals from the foods you eat. This is astonishing.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. And I just want to remind people, often in alternative medicine, you know, when we're working with cancers, we're going to have people take enzymes at night before they go to bed. So that's such a, you know, when you think of radiation and it's increasing our risk for cancers, I think these enzymes are so helpful and so important to probably not only take with food, but taking between meals or before bed, so they can sort of go in and be like little Pac-Men and clean up your stuff in there.
Exactly. So these are a few of, we just picked a handful of things from Young Living that will help you to protect yourselves, your loved ones. And Gary suggested diffusing purification oil and diffusing Melrose oil into the air. Very powerful for diffusing. And the last thing that he said is really powerful is the frankincense resin burners. Because not only did we had a class on this when I just came back from, and the frankincense resin burner is powerful and how it changes the integrity of the atmosphere. And if any of these dust particles do come into air that has been, I'm going to use the word fumigated on purpose, by the frankincense resin burner, it literally deactivates the radiation in the dust particles. Pretty powerful, huh?
Yeah, that is so beautiful, isn't it?
Yes. And the last thing is I'm going to go to a spiritual level, and I'm going to let Dr. Lawler finish her up here, is that yes, this is a physical catastrophe that has happened on our planet to our brothers and sisters and our animals, and we don't know the effects, and we won't know for many years, as Dr. Lawler has said. But one thing I do know is there is a huge power of prayer, and whatever your religious orientation is, that is personal and private to you. The church I go to says one God, many paths, and we welcome all who choose to come and worship and pray, and because there is one God, and that is my personal belief. And so with that, the sacred frankincense, Gary said, is going to be crucial to keep our minds out of fear, to keep ourselves from not getting caught up into the fear and into the worry and into the trauma and into the mass consciousness of ain't it awful, and pull ourselves down from that, because we can affect how our world shows up by our thoughts and by our consciousness. And so Gary really suggested the sacred frankincense, to be diffusing it in our homes, if you can even do it while you're sleeping, to be putting it under your nose, to be putting it in the back of your, under in your locus coeruleum point, which is right underneath the occipital bone, because that will keep us above all the trauma in our thoughts and allow us to heal faster. Dramatically allow us to not only heal ourselves and our brothers and sisters and our loved ones, but also heal our planet faster. And the sacred frankincense, the research Paul Sheely has done, is absolutely supports what Gary is saying. And that is one area, Gary says, that everybody goes to the physical, but they forget the spiritual. And in a time like this, the spiritual is equally as, or in some cases, more important than the physical. And to maintain focus in that world as well. So, Dr. Lawler, I'll let you have closing thoughts.
Thank you, Sherry. Well, let everybody know that I'm not quite done with it. I hope to finish it tonight. But I'm going to post an article on our website, hollyhouse.org, and also hopefully on our Facebook page, Holly House Center for Integrated Healthcare, sort of on what we've been talking about tonight. And I just want to leave you with that. It's so beautiful what Sherry said, and we want to be aware of what's happening in the world and yet be happy that we all have each other, and sure seems to me as if, in many ways the world is closing to, coming closer together, and we're treating each other in many ways, not in all places, as brothers and sisters, but think of this time as just a time to be wise and be prepared for challenges, and you can gradually, build your sort of your natural pharmacy, we call, in the event of need, and that's what you do. You don't worry, but you don't put your head in the sand either. You stand upright and do your best to be a source of inspiration to people. So I will just leave it with that tonight, Sherry.
Okay, Dr. Lawler, so why don't you state your website again so that people have it, and is your phone number and contact information on there?
It is on the website. Our website is www.hollyhouse.org. And then if you're on Facebook, we have a Facebook page, Holly House Center for Integrated Health Care. And our phone number is 651-645-6951. So I hope to post that article. It might take me till tomorrow or Thursday, given all I've got going on right now.
And so, Dr. Lawler, on your website, do you share what services you offer? Because I know that you offer a wide variety of services at your clinic.
Oh, yes, we do. And actually, I'm glad you said that, Sherry, because I just wanted to remind everyone that our last muscle response testing class is this Thursday night at 6 p.m., and I think there's still a few spots in that left, and you can find out about that on the website as well, or call our office if you don't have a computer. And then at the end of March, March 31st through May, we begin what we call the Alignment to God series with essential oils. And so we have alignment 1, 2, and 3, and those are learning how to self-treat bioenergetically and also with the use of prayer and the essential oils. So those are on the horizon as well. So I encourage people to participate. Gee, we just had the best class, Sherry, on Saturday. Wonderful people, a lot of them from Young Living.
Yep, I received tremendous email feedback thanking me for letting people know about your class and how not only extraordinary it was, but how helpful it was. And I'm gonna toot your horn here because you will never toot your own horn, but also a spectacular teacher you were, and how you they are actually getting it because of how you broke it down and how you presented it. They're getting information. They're getting answers to questions that they've had for a really long time, but they didn't know how to ask the question, or they didn't know which question to ask. All they knew is they needed some answers, and that's the feedback I received.
Oh, that's great. It's so rewarding. One of the guys who took it sent me an email and said how excited he was and that he actually was starting to use it. He does some part-time massage therapy, and he was starting to test to see which oil he should use. And he was like, it works. I could do it. I was, that's such a it's such a gift to me to hear that back and know that, that information is spreading and empowering people so they can just do better work in the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because that's what it's all about, for us to do what we're here to do. And if each one of us does our part, our world will be a better place. And I thank you so much for doing your part in the most extraordinary way. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you, Sherry. As you know, I just admire you so much in your level of wisdom.
I've had some great teachers, my dear. You being one of them.